John very far?
Very, very well. And I spent much of my life
in that same world.
Let a call in and make sure we get the conference call up and running. Just leave it off now. If somebody gets on, if they're not on halfway through, we'll turn it off. Okay. Are we ready to get started? Good evening, everybody. I'm going to stand away from here. Everybody can hear me okay? What about on the mic? Let you know we are trying several new things tonight. This is going to be a live meeting. Being broadcast out on YouTube. So we do that on a normal basis for our commission meetings now. So you can watch it. You can watch it live. You can actually watch it after the meeting if you want. You can go to our YouTube site and watch the proceedings from our monthly commission meetings. Why we are here tonight is to talk about an emergency amendment that BMRC is considering to strike bass. And this is it's part of Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission has done a SOC assessment that showed that the population is overfished and overfishing is occurring. As a result of that, they want to try to reduce the fishing mortality, the total removals of fish, to get that down below an acceptable level, and they're saying we have to have 18% reduction coastwide for the entire coast. That they're going to be discussing that in the meeting at the end of October. So there are some issues. We had a meeting here last week where ASMSC came down and talked about the issues of that addendum. It's addendum 6 of amendment 6 of the striped bass plan. Tonight, we are not talking about those issues. We are talking about issues that we as a staff and we as a BMRC have decided that we're going to be proactive and try to do something for the fall season coming up. Try to do something before ASMSC acts, and we'll be ahead of the game is what our thought is. Those three issues are, one recreational one fish limit, possession limit, recreationally 36 inch maximum size total length, and mesh restrictions of 7 inch max in the bay and 9 inches in coastal waters. That is the crux of the meeting tonight. That's the main crux of it. If you came here to talk about menhaden, we're not going to talk about it. Because we need to get input from our FMAC members and our general public. What happened was we went through this process last month. We told FMAC we were going forward with this at 7:45 at night. The meeting had started at 6 o'clock. We told them we were going through with this the next day. It was being put forward as an emergency measure. It went into our emergency measure. They approved it. And we have to go back this month in September and make it finalized, which will be September 24th. So you're going to have an opportunity to speak tonight, because these gentlemen didn't get a chance to speak on it last month. They'll get a chance to speak, and you'll get a chance to speak as well on this. And also, if you want to, you can go to that meeting as well and speak. You can also send in any comments you had. There was something out in the back room. On one side, it had, if you want to comment on these three issues, where to send it, and if you want to comment on anything that ASMSC is doing, it's on the other side, you can do that as well. But tonight, we are focusing on those three issues. So, I will say the ASMSC meeting we had last week, I don't know how many of you were here, it was a little disappointing because a few people monopolized the conversation. I'm not going to let that happen. I want anybody who wants a chance to speak to speak. I don't want to have anybody feel they're overwhelmed because somebody's always raising their hand trying to, you know, get the last word. So there are going to be restrictions. You can only speak for 3 minutes.
Okay.
You can only speak for 3 minutes. When we do the comment period, you're only about to be allowed to speak for 3 minutes. You'll come up to the podium. We'll have a timer set up. You start speaking. We start it. It goes. When you're 30 seconds left, this yellow light will start blinking. If it's not relative to what we're talking about, if you get up there and start talking about something else, I might ask you to stay on point. Okay? These three issues, this is what we're addressing tonight. There are other issues with striped bass that we will be dealing with after the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission has their annual meeting in October. Those are mostly commercial issues. But we can't address those tonight because we don't know what the outcome is going to be of that meeting. So, as I said, stick to the issues. We're going to have time restrictions, and then the way we're going to do it is Alex, I'll introduce Alex Aspinwall. He is our analysis for this. He's also on the Striped Bass PC. He's going to give a presentation. And Adam Kenyon, who's our plan and statistics supervisor. The three of us will be on the hot seat, so when you ask your questions, hopefully one of us will be able to answer it. But Alex is going to give his presentation. When he's done, we'll take questions. First, we're going to ask the FMAC members some questions, and then we'll go to the audience, and we'll go through that. And I said this to my staff, but I remember going to a kindergarten class to do a show and tell, and the teacher saying, kids, don't tell Mr. Gear a story. Ask him a question, okay? If you've got a couple minutes to ask the question, you're going to start going, you know, talking about this and talking about that, your question's going to get lost. Think about your question in advance. Be concise on that. And you'll have, and then we'll do the question period, and then we'll go to the comment period where basically anybody who signed up to speak, we'll ask the FMAC members first, and then we'll go to the people who signed up to speak, and then we'll go around. Well, you know, you can come up to the podium if you don't feel completely comfortable. I believe our mics can still capture it. So I'm not going to expect people from the very back of the room to come up here unless you really feel like doing it. But you'll say your name, and then you'll have, you know, and we'll start 3 minutes, and we'll go around the room, and if we have more time, we can go around the room again if we have to. And if we start to see the same people saying the same thing over and over again, I might say, okay, do we have an opposite opinion? We know 8 or 9 people said this. Is there anyone who feels differently about that? It's just a way of moderating and mitigating the meeting. And then after we do all that, we'll do a poll. We'll ask, okay, who's in favor of this? Who's in favor of the one fish limit? We'll take a vote. The FMAC chairman, Jeff Geem of the FMAC committee, he'll do a more formal vote. He'll ask them and say, you know, he'll do the vote for them. I'll do the vote for the audience. And then we'll take that information. It's not a vote. It's a poll. We're getting your opinions. And that's what this is all about. We've been through this process with FMAC since February, having nearly almost monthly meetings with them, talking about striped bass issues. And now, the rubber's starting to hit the road, and something's going to happen, actions are going to start to occur. But this is your opportunity to speak on these three issues that we brought forward to them last month. And we will have other meetings, you know, after the ASMFC meeting, we'll have a meeting in November, an FMAC meeting, and probably a combination public meeting as well. And then there'll be a commission meeting later that month that we'll be voting on, you know, other issues, other probably mostly commercial issues for the following year. But this is the road we're going down. ASMSC, they have a path they're taking. We decided to be a little bit more proactive. And this is the entire staff doing it, all the way from our secretary down to our planners, where we've all sat, you know, Alex and Adam, myself, and Jill and Summers and everybody else has been working on this, but we've had meetings and conference calls with our secretary and our commissioner. And when Rob O'Reilly was here, we sat on calls and discussed what we're going to do. So when we say staff, we're talking everybody in the agency, including the secretary. If there's an alternative, you know, if it's an alternative to one of these options, bring it forward. It's not up to me. It's up to the commission next Tuesday to decide. And what we'll do is we'll collate everybody's comments and say, you know, this is what they said in the meeting. This is what they felt. They felt we should do this instead of that, or they were supportive of this. But I really want to stick to those three issues, and I apologize if I insult somebody by cutting them off because they start going off on a tangent a little bit, which I'm doing right now. But with that See, I'm smiling. With that, the last thing is this is live, so please turn off your phones and watch the message. Okay? It is going to be live, and it's going to be stored for posterity. Once it's on the internet, God knows how long it's going to be there for. So I'm sure we'll all behave professionally, and we'll go from there. So Alex has got the floor now, and he's going to give a brief presentation on, why we're here.
All right. Thank you, Pat. For those who don't know me, my name is Alex Aspinwall. I'm the data analyst here with the BMRC. I'm also the technical committee representative for Virginia, which writes that. And really today, I'm going to give you a presentation, and we're going to go over these three items. Those items being lower the recreational possession limit to one fish per angler, implement a 36-inch maximum size limit, and also establish a commercial gillnet maximum mesh size requirement in the bay and also for the coast. And so that being said, why are we here? It was November 2018 where the 2018 benchmark stock assessment adult results were available. It indicated that the fishery was overfished. That overfished status refers to the spawning stock biomass or the amount of mature females in the population being below a threshold level. And also that overfishing is occurring, which refers to the fishing mortality estimate being above a threshold relative to 2017, which was the last year in the assessment, which is often used to establish the status of the fishery. So once the ASMSC board found out that this fishery is being overfished, that overfishing is occurring, they took immediate action. They did that through a rebuilding scheme. They tasked a plan development team to come up with a projection analysis to indicate what removals needed to be taken from the fishery to lower fishing mortality to the target. And they said that was 18% coastwide. And so, again, I want to reiterate that this addendum is all about addressing the overfishing status. So this is a fast-track approach. It typically takes a year. An amendment, which usually typically addresses the SSB estimate or the spawning stock biomass, that's done through an amendment. And that usually takes longer. So the first reference point I want to talk about is fishing mortality. This is the total mortality that occurs in a fishery due to fishing practices. So that's harvest, that's also dead discards or fish that are released that die to hooking mortality. And so the dotted dash line is the threshold. Essentially, this is a level that we do not want to exceed. And what the latest stock assessment indicates is that that the coastwide has been fishing at a level for the last 15 years has either been at the fishing mortality or exceeding it. And so what this means is if you look at 2017, the year that establishes the status of this fishery, we are overfishing because it's exceeding that threshold value. The other reference point is spawning stock biomass. What we're seeing is a declining trend in spawning stock biomass for at least below the threshold for the last 5 years. The 2017 estimate was well below the threshold, indicating that this stock is overfished. So the addendum really has three approaches to addressing this overfishing issue. They'll either do that through three options. One is status quo, where essentially nothing is done. They keep the same measures that are done through addendum four. Option two is where there's an equal reduction. An 18% reduction is made to the commercial fishery and also to the recreational fishery. And then there's a third option, which is where there's a 1.8% reduction for the commercial fishery and a 20% reduction for the recreational fishery. Which option will be chosen? We will not know that until October. I want to turn the page a little bit and focus on our fishery here in Virginia, specifically the recreational fishery. And some of these figures you may have seen, some may be new to you. The blue columns represent the directed trips. So these are directed trips aimed at striped bass in Virginia. The gray columns represent the harvest, so the numbers of fish. And the orange dashed lines represent CPUE, or what we refer to as harvest per trip. And what we're seeing is a decline in really all three parts of the fishery. So directed trips is declining. Harvest is declining. 2018, in fact, was the lowest harvest estimate that we've seen in Virginia since the moratorium in 90. So very low. Now, it's important to point out that directed trips are decreasing. So fewer trips, fewer harvests. But we're seeing CPUE, which is often used as an index of abundance, decreasing. It shouldn't do that. So it's a very good indicator that we're headed to a place we really don't want to go. I don't think there's any secret about it. So that being said, following the results of the latest stock assessment, it being overfished, overfishing is occurring. The performance of our recreational fishery, we are proposing to lower the striped bass possession limit from 2 striped bass to 1 striped bass in the Chesapeake Bay area. This will result in a 24% reduction in removals. And when I refer to removals, I'm talking about not just harvest, but harvest and dead discards, or the fish that are released and die to hooking mortality. This will achieve both reductions through ASMSC, whether that's 18% or 20%. And so the table below just outlines the seasons that we have in the Bay Area. We have a spring season from March 16th to June 15th. And we also have a fall season from October 4th to December 31st. The possession limit for both those seasons will be dropped from 2 fish down to 1 fish. The size limit in the spring season will not be changed. The size limit for the fall season, however, will be. So prior to this, it used to be 1 fish 20 to 28. And then also the other fish could be, you could have 1 fish greater than 28 inches. Now we're going to have a 36-inch maximum. So the size will be 20 to 36, and it'll be a 1 fish possession limit. So the savings under 36-inch maximum, 36-inch maximum size limit is fairly minimal. It's a 0.22% reduction in removals. However, this is done through MRIP. We know from our citation data that at least 600 fish are caught. We see it through social media. We hear it from our fishermen. We know that it's likely that a lot of big fish are caught. This is really an additional conservation effort to protect the spawning stock. There are many studies that show that there's a linear relationship between size and numbers of eggs. And what I mean is that larger females produce more eggs. More eggs in the population can produce more juveniles in our fishery. So on the other side, for the commercial fishery, we will be implementing a maximum mesh size requirement for the bay. That's going to be 7 inches. And also for the coast, that will be a 9-inch maximum mesh. And so right now, we did have an emergency, so that is good for 30 days. But prior to the last commission meeting, we never had a maximum mesh size requirement. We know that other states do. Maryland has a 7-inch maximum mesh size in the Chesapeake Bay. And again, this is to protect the spawning stock, to curb the harvest away from the larger fish. We have played around with the idea of putting a maximum size limit on the commercial fishery, but we really don't want to waste the resource. We realize that if a 36-inch maximum size limit was in place, that those fish would have to be discarded. And so that this maximum mesh size is really to curb the harvest away from large fish. And there won't be a commercial quota cut this year. But following the ASMSC's board decision this fall, they will decide in October whether that will be a 1.8% reduction or 18%. So we will be having a request for public hearing in October to let the commission know that we will be adjusting the quota, and then in November, once we know what that quota adjustment is, then we'll be able to make that decision. So BMRC recommends taking a proactive measure ahead of ASMSC for many reasons, one being the status of the stock. Also, the recent declines, the overwhelming evidence that, this we are harvesting at a level that we haven't seen in 15, 20 years. It's to protect the spawning stock, and really it's ultimately to achieve the reductions through ASMSC. So there will be a public hearing for the commission, that will be Tuesday, September 24th. We plan on taking your public comments and bringing that to the commission meeting. Please, if you want to come to the commission, they encourage you to come. And you can, if you can't make it for any reason, you can also send comments. That has to be in by noon of Monday. And so, okay, again, if you want to go back, ASMSC had a public hearing on September 9th. If you want to hear that, that's also on YouTube. And for their public comment, you have to send that to Max Appleman, he's FMP coordinator, by October 7th on Addendum 6. And that's all I have. This is the agenda.
And to let you know, I think it's in the back of the room outside, there was a half a sheet of paper that had that information on it, so you can take a copy of that. If we ran out, we can make more copies, because I went by pretty quickly. So, you know, if you have comments pertaining to the three issues we talked about, it comes to us. If there's anything with the ASMSC that from last week's meeting, you send it to them. Has everybody signed in at this point? Has everyone not signed in? If you haven't signed in, there's a sheet out back. We can get another copy. Just so make sure we have an accurate number of who's here, how many people are here tonight. But at this point, we're going to open it up for questions about, what we're doing in Alex's presentation, and I'll turn it over to Chairman Dean and let him, first the FMAC members will be asked, can provide questions, and then I'll moderate and let the audience ask questions. So, Chairman Dean,
Thank you. Okay, do we have any commission or committee members that would like to start with questions, or do we want to wait till we hear from the audience?
You said that we're catching less fish recreationally than we have in years, but there's overwhelming evidence to suggest that we're catching them at a higher rate. Those two don't go together. I don't understand.
I think I was referring to the large fish. There's evidence through social media that there are a large amount of fish being caught. Okay. Yes.
Are you talking about that in Virginia or off and down the whole coast?
I was just specifically referring to Virginia. I was just saying that MRIP suggests that it's 500 fish, which, when you compare it to our total recreational landings, it's very small. It's a small percentage. I'm just saying that we have anecdotal evidence that it may be that much or even more.
First thing to be clear for the audience, I believe it's true, that whatever we do now is not going to count against us, and ASMSC is going to use a basis year that's something
not.
Like 2 or 3
Absolutely
years.
Absolutely not. Nope. If they come and they say this is the basis year, that's when it's my responsibility as a TC member to say, wait, Virginia made cuts in 2019. We are not going to make that according to 2020. And they will.
So the basis years for harvest that you'll be making the cuts on in the future will not be this year. That's the key.
No, they will likely set a basis, and then it will be up to me or whoever the technical committee is to say, no, we made this ahead of time in 2019. Absolutely not, no.
Okay. And let's assume the stocks recover in, say, 3 or 4 years, because I can't imagine it happening sooner than that. What are the plans, or what is the potential for recovering at least a two fish limit, or two fish and one large fish limit again, and things like that? Are we going to?
Soon as the stock is recovered, soon as we're out of the overfishing is occurring status, that will occur. That is likely to occur.
Yeah. Okay. A clarification on the commission meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I heard somewhere that they were now hearing fisheries issues before lunch from time to time.
No, well, we've had this issue last month, and that was a little bit of bone of contention with some folks that Commissioner Bowman wanted to do it first thing in the morning to get it out of the way. It will not be heard until the afternoon session.
Okay, so it will not be heard before 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
It depends what time they go to lunch. It could be as early as 12:30,
okay.
The afternoon session. And it's and so that's the plan for it. So it'll be in the afternoon session, and it's Habitat has a lot of issues, and the problem we have is, if you haven't been to our commission meeting, most of it is driven by Habitat issues, where we have at least as many people, arguing about, you know, issues with not wanting this being done in their backyard or that being done in their backyard. So if everybody showed up, if all you showed up and all those habitat people, there'd be no place to sit. So we're basically, we're making sure that the striped bass issues will not be heard until after lunch. So I'd say, you know, 12:30 or 1. If you're here by 12:30, you should be okay.
And one more clarification for the audience. When Mr. Gear was talking about the secretary and staff being on the phone, he didn't clarify it's the Secretary of Natural Resources from Virginia.
Yes.
Who is on the phone, who is Steve Bowman's boss.
Yes, Matthew J. Strickler.
Scott?
So the big fish are being caught recreationally, but commercially, aren't we catching a smaller fish than we ever have?
The harvest, I mean, yes, commercially they are harvest. You are harvesting more smaller fish than you are larger fish.
Right, so
that's
so
true.
The commercial guys have done their job as far as catching smaller fish.
If that is,
I mean,
if that's what you are trying to do is to catch smaller fish, then yes.
Well, that's what we were. That's what normal poundage was.
Yeah.
You wanted us to catch smaller fish, and that's what these guys have done, according to the records that we have, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Anybody else? Mike.
One comment to add on that, and I'm a commercial waterman and with gillnet quota. Yes, we're catching smaller fish, but that's because with smaller fish catching them earlier before large fish are caught, we get a higher price. So we can get as high as $4.25 a pound in February by catching smaller fish. When the large fish come through, sometimes the price goes down to $1.75 a pound. So that's why we focus on smaller fish. But your statistics show that every year, the average size fish that we catch is smaller and smaller and smaller. So in 2018, it was 6.5 pounds was the average size fish caught by commercial guys. It comes from the data request I did through Jill. So that was the comment. And then I have a proposal, a suggestion for our committee, and that with our net size, we have an embedded 7-inch mesh size in effect today that starts on March 26th, where you can't have a fish in possession of over 28 inches. So in Virginia, we get our 9-inch in the bay. We get our 8-9-inch nets out of the water before that because the buyers aren't going to buy anything over 28-inch fish. So what we try to do is stay at a 7-inch or smaller, which will allow us to not catch those larger fish. So my suggestion is that rather than just go to a 7-inch mesh, we phase it so that you can catch larger fish. I'll just pick a date. Up till March 15th, you have a 36-inch maximum, and then March 26th, we have the 28-inch maximum. That would allow some of the watermen that all they have is 8- and 9-inch mesh nets in the bay to catch some of the larger fish, but then phase it out. So the two points I want to make there is we already have an imposed mesh restriction because we have a size restriction. The size mesh determines the size fish you catch. So that's one suggestion. And the other one is...
Mike, you're getting beyond the... This is supposed to be the question period.
Okay.
I mean, is there a question in here?
Yes, then I have the one question is, and you covered a little bit in your presentation, are there any gains that the staff hopes to get from doing this goodwill gesture for making these emergency management changes this year? I mean, I saw your whys, but is there any gains that you hope to get?
Yeah, the gains are that we know there's a problem. The assessment results came out in November. There's a process with anything that's done. And so we don't have to do anything under ASMSC until once they make a decision in October and implement it by 2020.
So are any other states doing this?
I know, is it
Massachusetts has issued some, you know, they basically put a self-imposed, if they go over their quota, they're going to accept the higher quota reduction regardless of what the vote is. They've also put circle hooks in effect, and I believe Maine has done something as well. I'm not sure exactly what it is.
So the idea is, we know there's a problem. Why wait? Why not be proactive and protect the fish that we have? I mean, we have an above average year class, 2014 and 2015 coming through. I mean, we heard it last year with the abundance of small fish everywhere. So we want to protect, we want to do something ahead of ASMSC. We don't want to wait. We know there's a problem. So that's exactly why we're doing this.
And then the last question for you is, could you please explain to the audience what the quota is for commercial and recreational, and when that quota started, and
Mike, that's one of the three issues for tonight.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I mean, we're trying to stay on the schedule, and it's, you know, we can address that later, but, you know, I want the audience a chance to speak as well. So, Ernie?
I have a question on the emergency regulation. We know for a fact, you know for a fact, I know, Pat knows, anybody knows anything about fisheries, knows that what's driving the overfishing is recreational discard mortality. It's the biggest segment of the fishery. It's more than the commercial and the landing probably combined. What in this emergency regulation addresses that at all? From what I see, it actually makes it worse, because you're going to have people discarding 36-inch fish on the recreational side, because you're not going to be allowed to keep 36-inch or greater. On average, 9% of them are going to die. You're going to have people who go fishing for one fish, and if they're doing good, they keep fishing. Maybe if they had two fish, they'd have enough for dinner, and they would go home and be satisfied with a meal instead of staying out and having fun. So you're going to have discard mortality increase because of that measure. You know, if this emergency is to decrease the mortality, you haven't succeeded. You've done it just the opposite. You've made it worse.
So
you even admit that you made it worse when you get the presentation several weeks ago, 4%. Of the stuff is going to, it was going to increase the discard mortality in the state of Virginia by, I believe, 4%. I'm not sure the number.
That was,
but it's going to increase the discard.
None of those were specific to Virginia. Those are all options in the addendum that are either bay-wide, so for all jurisdictions in bay.
I'm not talking about the addendum now. I'm talking about its emergency regulation. The emergency regulation you just stated was to immediately reduce mortality.
Right.
You wanted to be proactive.
Right.
What reduces the biggest source of mortality, even in Virginia? We're a very small player. I don't think the recreational community needs anything done to them in Virginia. But what in this regulation reduces the greatest part of mortality comes from the release mortality or discard? You know, you have more than one kind of release mortality. You have regulatory discard.
The idea behind this is if you were to look at the options in the addendum, you will see increases in minimum size limits. We know increasing the minimum size limit is going to increase dead discards. We already know our anglers struggle to catch a 20-inch minimum size fish, trying to get that. So if we were to keep that at 2, we're only going to keep the same amount of discards, or a very similar amount. By reducing the possession limits, the hopes is that you will reduce harvest, you will reduce dead discards. So that's the idea behind it. Other than that, there's slot limits. I mean, that's narrow. They are inches. Yeah, that all. So this idea is to reduce dead discards and reduce harvest. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah. Tom and I don't agree on a lot of things. But one thing he said several months ago, and then Rob corrected us that it would not happen. He made the comment here, at least they'll have to have closed seasons up north. So that's where the problem is. You know, Massachusetts killed over 10 million pounds of spawning stock last year in discard mortality. One state, 10 million mm-hmm. pounds. And that's not on the table at ASMSC either.
It is through conservation equivalency. Season adjustments are on the table. So if a state wants to not choose any of the options in the addendum in October, they can follow up with the conservation equivalency proposal by adjusting their season. In Virginia, our season is very different. 85% of our harvest occurs in wave 6. So I have that in a slide, but essentially you would have to take out the spring season all of October and about 2 weeks in November. It's start at mid-November through the end of the year to achieve at least an 18% reduction. Or if you start from the end, you would have to take almost all of December and end it in November. And that's really just because of the way the recreational fishery operates, where it's very heavy in November and December.
Yeah, Rob made the comment several months ago that this isn't the end, it's the beginning, because they're not addressing the problem. The problem is discard mortality in the recreational side, most of it in the Northeast, and in Merlin also. Merlin has a big problem. You know, you said it the last instance meeting that you were going to talk to other states and see what they were proposing. You've done that.
Yeah, Maryland, I mean, just briefly, Maryland and Potomac are considering closing the season, you know, or reducing the summer season. It should have a pretty good impact on their discards because, you know, because of the time of year, the water temperature. That's all they said at this point. They don't have anything concrete beyond that.
Virginia's not a problem.
No, our dead discards are very low.
We are the solution.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Ernie, I'm going to play counter to one of your discussions there. If you have a two fish limit, the second fish you catch is 100% dead. If you have a one fish limit, the second fish you catch is 10% dead. The third percent is 20% dead. The fourth one is 30% dead, just using the 10% mortality. So yes, you will decrease the mortality, overall mortality, because there'll be less dead fish, and a dead fish is a dead fish. Virginia is typically 1-to-1 release mortality,
right,
dead fish to harvested dead fish, historically.
Well, harvest to release.
Now, much higher than that, yeah. Now.
I'd have to take a look at it, but that, I remember when you made that comment before. I believe it was 1-to-1.
It's more or less 1-to-1, whereas, like you said, Massachusetts is on the order of 10 dead discarded fish for every one kept.
Maine is much, much more.
Yeah, and so it's they need to do, and the amendment, finally, the management plan is trying to address that issue by counting the dead discarded fish as part of the harvest on the recreational side. So that should, if ASMSC walks the talk that they're doing now, there should be substantial changes.
Okay. Anything else from the committee?
Just for purposes of clarification, you had two different reductions on the recreational fishery on your charts. One was a 24% reduction, and the other was a 0.22% reduction. Just so that everybody's clear, can you delineate between the two and the major difference?
Sure. So the analysis that I did was looking at going from a two fish possession limit to a one fish possession limit. And from doing that, it is estimated to save approximately 24% of removals. So that's 24% less fish that die that are either harvested or that would die due to hooking mortality. The 0.22% refers to all the fish that were greater than 36 inches. So MRIP provides catch at length. So MRIP is the federal survey, and it provides the total catch at length. It indicates that 0.22% of the recreational catch in Virginia is greater than 36 inches. And so they're not additive together. So the reductions in total likely will be greater than 24%. Not much, but probably 24 point.
Thank you.
So the one fish gives us what we need. And if you don't put a 36-inch max, then we don't increase our dead discards, and it saves tournaments also. So.
Right, but we also have to remember that there is a linear relationship between large breeding females and size. And so if you protect those large fish, we know for a fact that there will be millions and millions of more eggs coming into the population that otherwise would not be if we had that.
We had a discussion about when they become grandmothers.
Yeah, but I don't.
Too big.
No, there are multiple studies that cross multiple water bodies that show there's a linear relationship. The larger the female, the more eggs she produces, and so we're trying to protect that. We know spawning stock biomass is going to be on the table next year for an amendment. We know it's a problem. We are trying to address that here.
Scott? I mean,
I want to give the audience a chance to ask questions. And Mr. Lightfoot, I apologize that I cut you off, but we really want to concentrate on the issue. And it's a good conversation, but we want to give these folks a chance. And I don't want people, I want to get you out of here by 8:30 because, rule of thumb, it's by 8:30, quarter to nine, everyone's kind of starting to drag. So the goal is to be out of here by 8:30. So if we kind of stay on a schedule, we can try to do that. Are there any questions for Alex about any questions from us about his presentation? Only about his presentation. Any at all? Mr. Place, you weren't in the room before, so you have 2 minutes to ask your questions. 2 minutes to ask it. So we want to keep the questions short and concise. There'll be a chance for commenting as well, so you can comment later. But I want the questions to be short and sweet to the point, to the topic of what we're talking about.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I have two questions and a comment, which I'll hold.
Comment only helps.
As you said, early in your presentation, you said that there's an obvious decline in the CPUE, catch per unit of effort, of the recreational. Have you seen a parallel decline in the CPUE of the commercial? That's the first question.
I have not looked at that. Adam, have you looked at that?
Sorry?
Looked at CPUE on the commercial sector. So I've looked at the recreational sector, and we see that declining. Have you seen that at all in the commercial?
How significant is the on the
recreational? From what I believe, the last slide, I had one of the slides, I'll flip through it, but one of the slides I did was compare the 2018, it's not in this presentation, but the 2018 recreational harvest estimate to one of our more peak years, so mid-2000s, and it was a 94-95% decrease from those years where we were really doing well.
94-95% decrease in CPUE?
No, I was talking recreational harvest. I was just comparing harvest estimates.
My question was, you said there was a decline in CPUE recreational. How significant, expressed in a percentage or however you want to express it, was that? And is there a parallel decline in CPUE in the commercial?
Well, the CPUE is measured in numbers of fish per trip, and so CPUE in 2003 was 0.6,
recreational,
right, and in 2018 it looks like it was 0.12.
Big decline.
Big decline.
But you don't know yet about the commercial because that's key.
Next question.
So, if I understand correctly, what you're saying is any fish over 36 inches that is caught, it's one-to-one mortality rate? Is that what you're saying?
It's not like one fish you harvest, one fish you release. I wish it was like that because I struggle to try to catch, that one fish. I'm saying it's one fish that you harvest and to usually one dead discard.
Okay. So when we're fishing in the Chesapeake Bay, how come we don't see dead fish live? How long do they stay afloat before they sink when they're dead, when we release the fish?
I don't
where do the numbers come from?
Our dead discards are low compared to other states. We're about 3.25%. I mean, we're, as Mr. Ballard said, our dead discards, we do a good job at that. They're not very high. Maryland and Massachusetts are pushing 30%.
Yeah.
So ours is 9%, and it was done from a study. I believe it was done in the Chesapeake Bay. It was 9% fish held, and I want to say they were held in cages, and that 9% of those died. And so that's kind of been what's been adopted through this assessment and the previous assessment as well.
Other questions?
Yes. So have you given any consideration to no max, but a boat limit instead of a person limit? So instead of a boat with 6 people, six fish.
That was my very first thought, was actually to do a vessel limit, almost kind of like what we do with Cobia, how we have a vessel limit. But what I found was there weren't a lot of people that caught their limit. And so when I tried to say,
there are limits to a person.
Right.
But now it's one, because there's
Right, so not many people caught their limit. So if I were to put a vessel limit on it, it didn't show any savings at all. And so that was unfortunate because I wanted to go down that route. But so we kind of like, well, we'll address this in a different way. So that's
thought,
a good idea.
All the thought was the no max, vessel limit, and then mandatory circle hooks for a lot of bait.
Right, right. So mandatory circle hooks, I should have brought this up, but the commission in October will be looking at circle hooks. They're either going to be mandated. And so when we had our public hearing, I believe, with Max Appelman from the ASMSC, he brought that to his public hearing, and we had almost the majority vote was for mandatory circle hooks. And so that's something that may be put on the agenda for this, not this commission, but maybe this year, but definitely something that's going to be addressed next year. And to the vessel limit point, again, I looked at it, and it didn't get us where we need. We're trying to get at least 18%. But I believe circle hooks is definitely going to be something on the table, especially when using savings.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah.
When you turn away from the mic, like
that, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't speak up. I'm sorry.
Any other questions?
Yes.
You're saying that most people that went out didn't catch their second fish, correct? Because most people on Eastern Shore that are going out there are just targeting the big fish, and they don't care about that second fish. That's the majority of our trips. So when you take away that big fish, we really don't have anything to target at that time of year.
I understand. In December?
November, December.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we understand that, and you know, we encourage you to bring comments like that to the commission and tell them that, you know.
I mean, with a 36-inch fish, your mortality is going to go way up because we're not even going to have a chance at that, for the most part, to get down to a 36-inch fish. So when you're saying target 36-inch fish or under, the mortality rate has got to go through the roof because we're not going to find those fish. So if we're still able to fish for them, which is what I'm hoping you're saying we can do, you're putting us to target something that we can't find. And, you know, as a general rule off the Cape Charles area,
okay,
unless you want to go into a creek or something, but the majority of folks that come here, that catch and release mortality rate is going to go, I don't even know what that figure would be.
Question? You said some of your statistics come from social media. Is that correct?
So MRIP estimates that fish greater than 36 inches is roughly, I want to say it's 500-something fish. We have citation data from, I believe that was 2017, maybe 18, Lewis, was about 600 fish. So we know that it's likely that not every fish that was greater than a citation was submitted to get a plaque or to get a citation. And we see, you know, pictures of people holding fish and big fish, you know, and that's more attractive. It draws a lot of attention. We understand that. But we believe that, you know, it's probably at least that many fish.
I know some people that have been fishing like once in a life and catch like a huge fish, and 10 years later they're still posting pictures of that fish.
Sure, sure.
And there's some people that fish every day and, you know,
probably never show it because they catch those fish every day. It's not a big deal for them.
Questions? Chairman Dean has a question.
For the young lady on the Eastern Shore, are we talking Bayside or Oceanside?
Bayside, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions
for
Alice about the presentation? Yes, sir.
I'm trying to figure out, I know what this committee up here does. Yeah. Are we trying to save the fish? Are we trying to save money in somebody's pocket? That's the answer to the question.
You're trying to save the fishery, shut it down. That has been considered, sir.
Go by your history.
Yeah. That has been considered.
You shut it down, the fishery comes back.
That would be the easiest thing to do, but it would affect everybody in this room.
in a different way, but, you know. Yes.
Are we concerned about the pre-spawning fish? Is that what we're concerned about with the maximum size, or the maximum size limit?
We're concerned about all spawning size fish, pre-spawn or post-spawn. I mean, whether they spawn now, they're going to spawn next year. So
as a recreational fisherman, our season comes in October 5th or 1st, whatever it is, and we can fish till December 31st, correct?
Yep, got it.
Okay, and I'm speaking for the Eastern Shore because I fish on the Eastern Shore. We usually don't catch fish until after Thanksgiving.
Large fish, right?
Size.
Yeah.
So why can't we cut the October through November 15th out? Start our season November 15th. And then that, maybe that increase, I mean, maybe that gives you the decrease that you need and the less mortality that you need, and it still allows us to
get. It does, but what it also does is it cuts out the spring season. I realize the spring season is small, May 16th. And October 4th, but there's a lot of people that fish recreationally right past that don't necessarily want to target just the large fish. And so if we curve it towards that and we're trying to allow people to catch fish and they're seeking to large-sized fish, well, that's not really fair for all recreational anglers. And so that's why we're lowering the possession limit, keep the season we have, meet the reductions through ASMSC, and, you know.
I guess my point is, where we're at, we don't have a spring season. We don't fish for spring or dry fish.
Yeah.
And when you close that, you're also cutting out a part of the quota that, you know.
Right. We're just trying to make it fair because there's people that fish a spring that don't fish for, you know, for large fish.
But if you're taking out all of our big fish, how is that fair to, you know, to us?
It's to protect the spawning stock.
If you want to protect the spawning stock, quit commercial fishing when we can't fish recreational.
Let's not make this commercial versus recreational.
I don't want to.
We had that the other night. We all decided that wasn't the thing to do. So, question you have is, you know, it's like, you know, do you want to have the opportunity to fish, or do you want to have the opportunity to catch more fish? That's what you're saying, because, you know, we could go to November 15th. You have a very short season. Some people, that's fine for them. Other people want to have that opportunity to go out and fish for a longer period of time. And they may accept to have a lower catch limit to have that opportunity to go out and fish. And, that's a matter of preference.
I would accept the one fish per person starting November 15th, personally. I mean, to keep a no maximum size limit.
All right, well, we're moving right into the comment section. And I asked Chairman Dean, we're going to take your comments first. So if you have a comment, if you sign up, what we'll do is I'll call on these people first and say, what I'm going to ask you to do is just say your name and provide your comments. That's what we're here for. That's the main reason we're here, is to listen to your comments. So I've got Mr. Avery.
Am I first?
You are first.
Lord. You want me to go to the microphone?
It's up to you. If you want to, you can, or you can do it from there.
Lord.
So next would be Johnny Gamer.
So I'm Mike Avery. I'm with the Virginia Saltwater Sport Fishing Association. So we represent both the recreational angler and the charter fishermen. We're not representing any commercial watermen. So first of all, I want to express a disappointment that the commission chose to make this an emergency rule. From our point of view, there was no reason the commission couldn't have done this in April or May or June or July, or even in August, say a public hearing in September. But we're here now. So we do have some tweaks we'd like to see for this emergency recommendation. The first tweak is we'd like to have to see a trophy tag that could be available for purchase that would allow a fish to be caught over 36. And our recommendation is that the tag be sold in tackle shops, whether it's $50, $75, $100, whatever the price is, that the recreational angler or the charter captain has to purchase a tag in advance and have the tag on the boat. If they happen to catch a trophy fish, then they could harvest that for the tag that they purchased. And the proceeds could then go back to VMRC to help striped bass. our belief is that you're going to sell some, but you're not going to sell massive numbers in advance. And this tag purchasing process might also help the tournaments. You can build that cost into the tournament fee that they have to buy this tag too. So that might help the tournaments too. And as you said, the trophies that get harvested is not a big percentage. So we don't think we'd still stay under our 18% cut if we had a trophy tag purchase system. I know enforcement may be a problem, but I think it could be implemented. The second recommendation we have is to somehow help the charter captain. It is our belief that many of the customers won't book a charter boat for one fish. As you know, a lot of our fish are 20-inch, 22-inch, maybe 24-inch. So we don't think you're going to get a lot of tag. You'd get a lot of customers for the charter. So we'd like to see a possible separation and allow the charters to keep two fish. And so maybe we'll get some charter captains that can still stay in business. Most of the charter captains won't fish the rockfish season. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mike. No? I'd like to say that if I could still. So my name is Johnny Dammer. I actually got a question, and I didn't realize it was going to go right to comments. That you couldn't answer.
That's okay. We can do both.
Okay. Do we have a fish biologist from FIMS here, or does anybody attend a meeting from FIMS?
They do. We have a fish biologist that just from FIMS that just got on our staff last week, Olivia Phillips, who has to be working on striped bass.
All right. I just wonder how the juvenile index versus the biomass. I mean, we were talking about the good years, it was 14 and 15.
The above average. So the above average year classes from the juvenile index are above normal.
Do they consider that any when they talk about the, being overfished and or the healthiness of the stock?
Yeah, so it's included in the stock assessment. It helps used to make decisions on, you know, what we may expect harvest to be in future years.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And I have Clint Lesser.
That's nice. So Clint Lessard, I'm from the Eastern Shore. Like to propose to you guys, kind of like Mr. Avery was saying about a tag, some sort of tag proposal. Your recreational guy, you can come up with a number. Just say when you buy a rockfish permit, you get 10 tags. Just say 10 tags for a number. Not a tag that, but like a zip tag, zip tie with a number on it. Okay, you give your charter boats, just say a number of 50 per season. That way your recreational can have your 10 fish, your charter boats can have your 50 if they catch them. At the end of the season, I think anybody can say this as far as our mandatory reporting, that it's a failed system. I mean, I can go catch 10 fish in one day and report three of them, and that's what you're getting of a report is three fish, correct? I mean, there's no who's to say that who's lying and who's not. If you have a tag system where you tag the fish, well, you catch the fish. As soon as you catch the fish, you put the tag in it. It's a zip tie. It's not coming off. Okay? At the end of the season, you have till, just say the season's over December 31st, you have till January 15th to return those tags to VMRC. All right? Now you are accountable for your tags. So now you have, hey, okay, well, if this guy sends five, he reported five fish and he has five tags to send back, now we know that's a true number, right?
That's good.
You know?
I apologize because somebody must be a fly on the wall in some of our rooms. We're discussing exactly what you said, what Ms. Avery said, about having a tagging program. Instead of having a trophy fishery, have a bonus fishery, where basically you provide tags. New Jersey has something like that, but we can't get that implemented right away. That's part of the problem. We are looking into that. We're trying to pursue it as quickly as possible, but the magnitude of whatever this thing, maybe
could be up to 40,000 anglers, depending on how many people would like those tags. So the logistics of being able to implement that is such a quick manner.
Correct.
We thought that wasn't feasible, but looking at it for future years, it could be something that we were going to look into.
Adam drew up a plan. We have a plan, but we want to do it.
Obviously. And, you know, a question that maybe mandates circle hooks for live bait fishing, as we discussed. Even, you know, let's move the season to November 1st. I mean, some people might not agree with that. Some people may. On the Eastern Shore, like I said earlier, we don't catch fish until usually Thanksgiving, the bigger fish. And that's what people are targeting when they come down to fish with us. They come to the Eastern Shore to catch the bigger fish. You know, one fish per person. And even, like somebody said, three fish per boat, you know, maybe a boat limit as well. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much.
Question, if I may, are you talking bayside or seaside?
All our fishing is bayside. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm having a hard time reading the same.
Excuse me. He was okay with one fish per person?
Sir?
You're okay with one fish per person?
I am okay with one fish per person.
Thank you.
I'm a commercial fisherman in Chesapeake Bay. Well, I wanted to touch a little bit on what this guy's talking about. We have to tag every fish we catch. And I feel like, do y'all have accurate data? All the fish that's kept should be tagged. And, you know, if we were trying to cut back on this dead fish, because people won't leave a fish in the cooler and catch a bigger one and throw him back, and he'd have a tag. And I feel like if it is, inspectors have been in that job, they will check the and I think it's terrible that they can go fishing and only catch one fish. I like to go fishing too. And another thing, I don't understand the logic of putting the size from 20 inches to 18 inches for recreational, because they got to catch 20 fish to catch one 20 inches from the small fish on them. And they're throwing them back, and y'all just said they die 1-to-1. So in order to have big fish, you got to keep the small ones, some of them. So I think you kind of need to think about that.
The dead discard rate is one dead fish for every 10. It's about,
well, that's still a lot.
Yeah, but it's not.
I know people who are that chunky, and I've heard them talking. They'll catch 200 fish, yeah, and they don't keep but two. And, you know, because they are 19 inches. You know, so really do think a tagging system should be in some type of reporting.
Well, look to me, with the tagging program we're considering is a reporting program. You have to report those tags. And like I said, we're eager to do it, but
y'all can 40,000 cutting out a little bit of quota, yeah, cutting everything, taking the fish away. But if you don't target what's killing these fish, the problem. And the problem is catching them. You could either drag them behind a boat or ride them around in the cooler and throw them back overboard when you catch one bigger. Yeah. If you don't address the problem, you're not going to help the stock of the fish.
Okay. Mr. Place?
Kelly Place here for the Virginia Watermen's Association. I am interested, Alex, still in whether there's been the parallel decline in the CPUE for the commercial, because that's obviously fundamental to whether the commercial should have a cut status quo 1.8 or 18%. In your presentation, you mentioned the proactive nature of some of what's coming in front of the commission, and while we all want to be proactive and help keep the stability of the fishery, I couldn't help but notice that your language was precisely the same as the language staff gave us in 2011, which led to a proactive cut of 14% across all of the recreational fishery. In fact, I think it was bay-wide, upon the promise that we would expect to get credit from the ASMFC for such a proactive measure, since none of the other fishing jurisdictions were doing that. Fast forward to 2014 at the annual meeting in Connecticut, we didn't get credit for that. We got a tiny percentage of that, and the Bay jurisdictions, as you know, starting in 2015 through 2017, had a 20.5% reduction. The rest of the coast had 25%, and then that reduction in quota for both the commercial and the catch for the recreational was extended another year, as you know, 2018, and then to this year as well. it seems strategically and tactically, I think, dangerous and probably erroneous, because to quote not only Rob O'Reilly, but a long list of people at ASMFC and here, that ASMFC has seldom, if ever, given credit for a proactive measure because of the, on the commercial side, because of the lack of the emergency nature, in my opinion, of the commercial, I would think that we would go through a public hearing if you determine that a reduction in mesh size is the right way to go, and have that queued up for the commission to vote and let the AS submit to the technical committee all the documentation that you would have to support what credit we should get, and have the technical committee or the management board, both I guess, of the ASMFC acknowledge that we would get credit for whatever proposals you're putting forward, because never, and I just express the one worst one, because we were promised in the same language that you use that we would get credit for that, but anyone who's been to the ASMFC meetings or here knows that you don't get credit for proactive measures. Now, I think that's wrong. I would think that you would get from the board credit and then vote it through at VMRC. So strategically and tactically, based on history, based on the quotes of everyone that's been instrumental in the process for the last 20 years, I don't see where we would get the credit for the proactive measure, but that's my opinion. I'll express that to the commission on the 24th. The other one is a comment I asked during the ASMFC, but didn't get a satisfactory explanation. Maybe you could give that to me. Reading from the just one sentence in the public information document on what ASMFC will vote on coming up on October 31st, give or take a day, the new MRIP, that's Marine Recreational Information Program, removals estimates are on average 2.3 times higher than recreational removals used in previous stock assessments. And here's where I don't understand it. I understand that the previous MRFs, the Marine Recreational Fisheries Statistics Survey, was far undercounting the amount of recreational effort. So with the new MRIP program instituted in 2018, it says 2.3 times higher. What I don't understand, and maybe you guys can explain to me, in their public information document, it finishes the sentences by saying, resulting in higher estimates of female SSB and therefore higher estimates for the SSB reference points. I must be missing something there, because I don't understand. I mean, obviously what's driving this is a lower estimate of the SSB, right? The SSB has apparently fallen below the threshold. We're taking measures to correct that. But here it mentions that because of the new MRIP, it results in a higher estimate of female SSB. Maybe they mean higher estimates of recreational removals, but it seems counterintuitive. Maybe you could explain that to me, because I apparently don't understand.
The numbers, the threshold and the targets are higher too, correct?
Right.
Right. You can't compare the old method to the new method. And Max right. Old said that the other night.
Right.
So you can't compare the two. You know, they're totally separate. So the new method has higher spawning stock, but also has higher targets and thresholds than before. So you can't look at the old threshold and say, look, we're better than we're, because it's a new model. It's a new calibration is what they're using. So that's what we have to work with.
Right.
No matter what you want to say about it, that's...
Well, I'm just asking, because obviously no, and I think Ernie alluded to this at the ASMFC public hearing, those of us who were there, I mean, we're told we're comparing apples and oranges to compare the old reference points and thresholds, et cetera, to the new ones. But the language that they used when they sold us over the last 25 years, the old reference points, end up being invalid arguments, because we can't, all the management plans that were based on all the reference points, it's difficult for us to have an entirely new set of reference points and not even be able to relate where we are now or where we want to go compared to what we were doing in the past. And in some ways, it's like the new model, the statistical, talking to you, Alex, the new model, the statistical catch-at-age model that they're using, replacing the virtual population analysis, it's like hindsight is 20/20. As you know, the accuracy of those models is
more accurate as time goes on and they hindcast it. Well, of course that's the case. When you've got more and more hindsight, you can do that. But the management plans are based on the most recent estimate. In other words, the least accurate measure of it. So that's just an observation that I have. Maybe that's the nature of the beast. But basically, I was just curious if you could, I'm still not quite clear on how the MRIP results.
We'll talk to you about this later, because we talked for almost an hour and a half about this last week, and I promised everybody would have a chance to speak. So
yeah.
We said we're going to give everybody 3 minutes, and you've already had almost six. So.
Okay, well, everyone else spoke for that long, too. So
not really, but that's okay.
I actually timed it.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I'm George Streisand from Fesson. I'm a commercial fisherman. And I can't see how a 30-pound fish that's spawned for, 15, 16 years is better to take out the system or leave in the system than 12 or 15 that's never going to spawn to make up for that one fish. And you're going to pile everybody in the rivers, and you're going to kill it deader than a hammer. And that's what's going to happen. And that chart there, that's when they cut crab dredging out. And that brings all the fish, it turns the bottom of the bay up, and everything's gone to hell since y'all cut that out.
Absolutely.
Right, thank you. That's
what's going to happen.
The bay is dead.
What would it hurt to let 50 boats go dredging? Crab dredging.
That's a different issue, Mr. Price.
It's the issue right here.
Yeah, well, for another night. It's only my third day on the job, guys, so. Any other comments from the public? This is your opportunity. Ma'am?
I'm Beverly Lefford. I'm the mother of Chris Lefford. He has a commercial rockfish quota, and I'm concerned about two things because it seems to me this is so fast, such a fast-track system that I'm not sure that it would be possible to retro-gear nets in this short time frame for people who have them. That's a pretty big undertaking when sometimes mesh is not available. That's a concern that has been expressed to me from some of the fishermen, and also that we're talking about something that's going to be heard this month and implemented in less than 60 days, which is a terrible educational situation, I think. And also, again, I speak to the problem of, I'm not saying that we don't need to take action, but it seems to me that it's an awfully fast-track situation for people who do this for a living.
What would be a good timeline?
Certainly not in 2019.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing. If we could have, if you're going to change the mesh size, at least give us a little bit of time to use up some of the stuff we have, a year or two anyway. I mean,
Charles Dryden, y'all were talking about the tags for recreational. Why can't you just do it like a hunt license, where print it out and it's there, and you notch it, and then you call it in.
We only have until 8:30 on this meeting, sir. So, there are ways to do it. We are trying to do it the best we can, and do it so it's right. And we joke, we said we put a fish ball out front, and they said everyone come in and just leave one at the front desk and take a tag. But we want to make sure we do it right. Somebody will be here, yes, sir.
Good evening. Ben Berwick. There's been a couple of comments about the dead loss, and I'm new to coming to these meetings, and although I am a charter boat captain, I don't come to the things. So my question is this, or your comment. You made the comment that a lot of the information you get in social media is kind of anecdotal. There were some citations and stuff on the larger fish being caught. So where are you getting your dead loss? I'm new. Where are you getting your dead loss numbers? Because some people are saying that you're going to have more. There, people who are putting the line in the water, and I agree. I think the dead loss is going to go up.
Right,
so where are you getting those numbers?
Right. So the dead. So most of our recreational information is not definitely not anecdotal, and it's definitely not through social media. It's through the federal survey. It's through AMRIP. I was just saying that we believe that, you know, that what Emmer is saying, we are being the deadlock is through recreational studies on dead discards, which is 9%. And so they, what we do and what the stock assessment scientists do is they apply 9% times the total estimated recreational release fish. And then that's how they get the dead discards. So that's where that comes from. And so when I talk about removal, total fish that are removed from the population, that's fish that were observed or were intercepted by Emirates staff that said, hey, yes, I caught one, here's a fish. And that's fish that, hey, you were intercepted, yeah, I released 10 fish. Okay, well, okay, you harvested your two fish possession, and we believe one of those fish that released probably died due to hooking fatality. So that's where that comes from, the removal.
It's from Emirates.
Yes, the marine recreational information.
You can go online and retrieve that. All right, thanks. I was confused about that. Thank you.
Yes,
you
and
then
you, sir. Yes.
John and Aaron, again, and something more to do with what Mike Lakewood had to say a while ago on the 7-inch net stuff. What is the minimum size net you can set right now to catch rock fish? Is it 5-inch?
It depends on season and where you're fishing, what that minimum size is.
Just most of the guys I know usually don't use too much smaller than 5.5 or 6 inch. And my concern is, what's it going to do if everybody in the room, Maryland, Potomac, Virginia, go after everything from 5.5 inch net to 7, and that small frame, what's it going to do to that class of fish at that time? And what Mike was saying too, as far as 28 inches of max, starting the 25th of March right now, I think, for commercial, on to June 1st, and a 7-inch max right there in that time frame is fine.
Yes, sir.
My name is Jerry Hughes. I'm from Chesapeake, Virginia. I'm a recreational fisherman. 4 years ago, I got lucky and I caught a trophy fish. 50-pound fish. The last 4 years in a row, I've spent 8 to 10 trips a year between Thanksgiving and December 31st going to Cape Charles to catch another one. That meant a lot of trips to tackle shops, a lot of gas, a lot of Chesapeake Bay Bridge tunnel poles. Right? I got lucky this year, and December 14th, I caught another one. Okay, it was a 50-pound fish. I spent 4 years trying to catch that fish. You think I want to spend the next 4 years not knowing that I cannot catch another one? Plus, why would I want to go to Cape Charles to catch one fish? Come on, give me a break.
And what we're trying to do is allow you to go catch that fish eventually and not take 4 years to catch it. We want you to be able to catch that fish eventually.
Somebody else in the city here.
Hi, sir. My name is Robert Hallowell. I've been commercial fishing for probably about 60 years. Also, my father owned 2 head boats, and I grew up sport fishing. Give these sport fishermen what they want. With any fish in the bay, they can't catch the eyeballs out of them. Give them what they want. We've rock fished for years. In 1960, when they built the bridge tunnel, the rock fish were boiling from the Little Creek Jetty to Smith Island. Nobody here to catch them. Them fish, when they got to the top of the cycle, they died off. They went downhill, and nobody knows where they went. There won't nobody here to catch them then. So it don't make any difference how much argument you want to do. You can sit here and argue in this room for the rest of your life. When them fish get ready to come back, the good Lord's going to bring them back. Nobody else ain't going to bring them back. And the mass size, if you use 7-inch net, you're going to kill more fish in one day in the whole quota of the state of Virginia. It's already been done, and the man right here has seen it done.
Thank you.
So, that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
Thank you, sir.
Stan Zimmerman, the president of the Peninsula Saltwater Sport Fishermen's Association. 182 members, and but I'm going to speak more just for myself right now. I fish offshore throughout the winter, especially since the winter sea bass season, and we do a lot of tog fishing all winter long. And we see huge schools of rockfish offshore, 30, 40, 50, 60 miles offshore in January, but especially in February. And those fish don't come into the bay until March, and I know that, and Lewis can attest to this, we've had that discussion before, that a lot of people have asked, all these fish are out there, why are they catching them up the bay, up above the cut channel, but we're not getting them to Cape Charles anymore, we're not getting them into Bay Bridge Tunnel anymore during the rockfish season? And one of the comments was, these fish are out there, they're feeding, they decide they're going to spawn, they just all of a sudden, they disappear one day and they're in the bay and they're gone. So our season, which runs until December 31st, those fish aren't in the bay. Those big schools of fish aren't in the bay yet. They don't show up. They come in late February, early March, when they decide they're going to spawn. And so by changing the season, you know, maybe moving the season to November, first, like the one gentleman here recommended, you're really not going to have a big effect on it because not that many fishermen are fishing for them yet. December, they fish for them quite a bit, and including myself. And I've taken one fish in the last 10 years, and that was this year. I caught a 50-pounder, which I was going to release, but the guy that was with me wanted a piece of meat to take home, so we kept it. But for the most part, those big fish here aren't here until after March, or until March. They're still out in the ocean.
Thank you. Anyone else before Mr. Holloman?
Robert,
sorry, anyone else?
I'd like to say one more thing.
You have the floor, sir.
I'll say for the sport fishermen and the commercial fishermen. The federal government has got into the shark business. Okay? Horn dogs. Here's a man right here who's caught many one. When you got a wall of horn dogs, when the water temperature changes at Cape Henry, 1st of November, you've got a wall of horn dogs from there to the continental shelf. 3 from 35 feet of water to 300 feet of water. Anywhere you go, when that water temperature's right, you can't drop a hook on the bottom. When them tuna went out 2 or 3 winters ago, Harry Dorante, well, everybody knows here, sport fish, goes there and starts chumming for tuna at Cape Henry, and guess what? He said, Robert, it looked like the whole bottom was coming up with horn dogs. Them rockfish do not mix with horn dogs. They do not mix. The Hall Center down in Currituck caught many a million ton of rock. Horn dogs, they'll mix with bluefish, they'll mix with gray trout, and they'll mix with other fish, but they will not mix. When you've got a wall of horn dogs there like that, them rock are not coming through them until them horn dogs leave. And that's when they come through, middle of February, March. So get the federal government to catch more sharks and clean that mess up. And they eat more. They'll eat more blue rock and spot and crocus when they're leaving the bay in November. And that's a lot of a problem right there. Millions and millions of tons.
Take one more comment before we turn it back over to FMAC. Let me see if somebody else to do, Kelly, first.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
My name is Elgin Ninder. I've been a commercial fisherman for about 60 years, and I've seen the rockfish go and come. But my question is, the mesh size, you go to 7 inches, what's going to happen to the fish that's over 36 inches that's dead?
Yeah.
I mean, do we get to tag him or throw him back? We've been throwing him back in the tunnel for years, and I have never figured that out. You throw one fish back, and then you kill another one to put your tag on.
If you're saying you'd be able to keep whatever catching that same fish.
That's what we, you know, that would be the mess size, whatever it's caught.
Okay. That's my question. Thank you.
Take one more question besides Mr. Place, if there's anyone else. I want to get people who haven't. All right, I'll take. Yes, sir.
I'm Taylor Diamond, and I've been fishing ever since I was 8 years old, and I'm be 75 coming up November. Right now, it's something like it used to be when y'all cut all the fishing off. More trying to land no fishing. The fish size, they are small. I see all evidence you want to see. You go there and try to catch a perch with a minnow or something, you'll catch a rock 12 inches to, you know, 15 inches. That's what it is. The fish size right now, we have a cycle. But every 7 years, right now, we've got plenty of rock fishers there. I bet you by the 2020, you'll see them numbers go way up, because them fish get big enough for you to catch. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Avery has a small question. I'm going to let Mr. Place have the last question. Go ahead.
I sort of, one point I didn't make was part of the comment, not a question, just the comment here. I failed to mention that our anglers in our association are conservation-minded and generally do support this emergency rule. So not 100%, most of our anglers are kind of split, but the majority of our anglers, they want to do our part to bring back the stocks. And so we are generally supportive of the emergency rule. So I did want to make sure I say that, but I didn't want to say that the first time.
And Mr. Place.
Just a statement of position on the part of the Virginia Watermen's Association. The association is somewhat split. Many people think it should be status quo because the commercial fisheries fit within their catch, within their mortality rates, within all the benchmarks as it's supposed to be. Others, like myself, think that even though it's somewhat proactive, that we realize it's not an option, probably for a realistic option for the ASMSC, that we would accept a 1.8% cut. But there isn't one person in the Virginia Watermen's Association that think an 18% cut would be fair. It would fall under the category of no good deed goes unpunished. There's a long list of things that we've been required to do and have successfully done. Everything from staying within our quota. They wanted us to reduce the size of fish. We've done that twofold. It used to be 12 or 13 pounds. Now it's like 9 or something like that. So there's not a single person in the entire association or its affiliates that think that the Virginia commercial should have 18%. So either status quo or 1.8.
I suspect that we will be back in this room, and many of you will be back in here. We'll be going through the same process in November and December again. So do we have any comments on the web, folks, that we can read aloud? Any questions or comments?
We have one comment. Somebody stated, why not take a proactive 24% reduction for both rec and commercial starting this fall? Restoring the stock as soon as possible is in the best interest. The rest of them probably don't need to be read aloud.
We'll give them the opportunity. I'm going to turn it over to Chairman Dean with the FMAC committee.
All right. Before we do that, it's my understanding that we're here tonight to try to find an alternative somewhere short of the emergency action.
Tonight, our goal was to listen to you. That's our goal. We have our staff recommendation is what it is. But if Matt can have an alternative one, we're going to take everything everybody said, and at the end of this meeting, we're going to ask him to show a hand, and we'll make a table, and we'll show that at the meeting. And say, you know, all the people, there's close to 60 people here, minus the committee. You know, 70% supported this, or did support this, or supported that. And we'll do that, and we'll show that to the committee. I don't have a vote on that committee. I mean, it's our commission that will vote on that, and they'll make the final decision on these actions. You know, that's why I wanted to keep on task, because they can tweak those three actions. A lot of these things we talked about, like, the tagging, we can't do that in this emergency action. That's beyond that. We have these three things that we will be addressing at the commission meeting on Tuesday. Just these three. But some of the things we talked about can be tweaked into that, you know, for a recommendation. But we have our staff recommendation. We showed what it is. But we will show the other, you know, what you folks have said. And, you know, there's a good group here tonight and a lot of good conversation on this. And that's why we're doing this. We wanted to give you the opportunity to speak on this issue. So that's what we're doing. If the FMAC wants to come up with an alternative, they can. But it's entirely up to the FMAC committee themselves what they'd like to do.
Okay, I saw it as our goal to come up with an alternative that's not quite as strict as the emergency action, which would be possibly harmful to a lot of people, especially charter captains who can't get people to come in for one fish. Something short of emergency actions that still saves the stock of fish and saves the fishermen as well, and I think we can do that. So I'd like to hear from the committee as to what we want to do. Ernie, you're closest.
I have some observation and comment, and I agree with you that we should try to come up with alternative. I don't know that we will. Some observations from years of fisheries experience as a commercial fisherman and gone to meeting for 32 years. I should have a degree in stupidity, I guess, for going to meeting for 32 years, and today happens to be my 43rd anniversary, and this is how my wife and I are celebrating tonight.
Congratulations.
Here's an observation. Condolences on her part probably would be more welcome. If a fish was overfished for 15 years and didn't collapse, it could only be two things. One thing, decided to stop was grossly underestimated originally, or you could not overfish for 15 years and it not collapse. Number two, overfishing is not occurring, or it's occurring at a very, very low level. We do know that the benchmark for change significantly in apples and oranges, like we heard the other night. So that's an observation. Another observation is, we know Virginia's not driving any of this. We also know that any fish we save that are 36 inches and above are coastal migrants. The fish we save here today are the same ones they're killing in New England. The vast majority, Massachusetts, to my knowledge, produces no striped bass. There may be a spawning stock in the Connecticut River, if there is. It's a small one. Traditionally, most of the fish come from Chesapeake Bay, and then you have Albemarle Sound, which is a different animal altogether, and you have some from the Hudson River and Delaware River. But Chesapeake Bay, some years as high as 85% of it. So the fish we're saving, we're not saving. We're just given a stay of execution. You know, a certain amount that get by us is going to meet their demise further north. So that's two observations. Comments on the emergency regulation. I brought it up that night when we first heard about it. You're putting the charter boats out of business. You know, I might be a commercial fisherman. I have spoke for the Charter Boat Association many times from the shore. They've asked me to speak for them. I have quite a few friends that own it. None of them straight bass fish. But it just, we know we're going to hurt them. We know we're going to put them out of business. We know that what is causing the problem is discard mortality. We know that. That's a fact we know. On the 7-inch stuff, net size, you know, Mike lives on the western shore. I don't know where, probably up toward the river somewhere. There's availability of small fish in rivers because they're resident fish. They don't become coastal migrants, supposedly, until they're 28 inches, but there's overlap. I mean, some stay much longer, some leave at a smaller size. We do know that, but ordinarily they consider 28 inches. You have river systems on the western shore. The whole Chesapeake Bay in Maryland has river systems on both sides. The eastern shore of Virginia has none. So basically the fish that we work on the eastern shore, and I haven't fished for striped bass on the Chesapeake Bay in 30 or 40 years. It's been a very long time, whatever it's been. The eastern shore mirrors the ocean compared to the western shore. We just don't have the availability of small fish. The 7-inch is going to really have an effect everywhere, but more so in areas where you do not have resident fish. The availability of 7-inch net, he called and said it was available. But there's a big difference between what's available and what's legal to use. You know, you have no restrictions, basically. If you want to use 0.52 or whatever size millimeter you want, you can use. We have marine mammal reduction plans. So once you get to the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, the rest of the Chesapeake Bay and the whole ocean falls under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. The smallest thing we're allowed to use is 0.81. That they stop that anywhere over here.
because it's not necessary. It doesn't catch nowhere near as many fish, but it's been shown to catch way less mammals and turtles because it's a lot stiffer and things don't get tangled up as well. You're not dealing with any of that. That's something that we are. So the 7-inch, you know, if it's something that had to be done, it should have been saved then. It's no way people, you know, it's people right here and now, I know that probably still have strike bass to catch this fall, and there's no net available. There's no weapon available. We're in the middle of a very good spot season. That's unusual because we haven't had very good spot seasons in a while. When they get done, it's going to be probably middle October, maybe a little later, depending on the water temperature. They're going to have to locate webbing. They're going to have to cut out their nets. They're going to have to rehang them and still have time to go fishing. So that means, basically, they have no fall season. You can't accomplish that. Now that was one of the things when you brought it up that night. It's just impossible for them to do. You know, I'm one of the few people who have 7-inch nets. I would loan people 7-inch nets, you know, but I couldn't supply everybody who would need them. Okay. I'm trying to help what I could help. But it just, you know, I don't see it's a true emergency, because if it was, you'd be addressing the problem, and the problem is discard mortality on the recreational side. So if you were addressing that, and then you tried to bring some other stuff along, but we're not making an effort to address that. Okay. And it's kind of a knee-jerk thing. And I'm sure, you know, most of the people in here that are commercial fishermen, I know some of them, a lot of them I don't, they'll say the same thing. You have Mr. Carson back there that sells probably more webbing than anybody in the state of Virginia. And he'll soon tell you he can't get the webbing. It's a six-month lead time. So even if the people miraculously had a lot of time, they still never had the product. So it just, you know, it's something like this. It should have been phased in. It should have been something that was discussed. It's going to make very little difference. When we had Rob here that night, and I was teasing him, and we found out that a 36-inch fish is 2 years older than a 28-inch fish, and it weighs twice as much. I said, well, you're better off to catch the 36, leave the 28 overboard, because in 2 years you're going to have two 36s, and you only took one out. Well, if you were just using pure mathematics, that's the way to go. We don't know the viability of the 50-pound fish that's generally caught. Yes, there's probably a lot of rail, but I don't know how viable it is. You know, a lot of ladies get pregnant in their 40s, even in their 50s, but a lot of times it's very, very problematic.
Right.
So that's my observation. You know, I don't think Virginia is driving any of it. We're not addressing the real problem, which is, you know, hopefully relational mortality. For quite a few years now, they've been pushing the idea of having circle hooks, but they never did anything about it. How much that would have helped over the years, I don't know. But it would have been some help. You know, even if it was 5% reduction, you're still talking like Massachusetts, I think, is an easy estimate. They killed 10 million pounds of polystyrene stock. Because we know they're coastal migrants. They're going to weigh at least 8 or 9 pounds, and some of them are going to weigh 30 or 40 pounds. So we know, I'm just taking 12 pounds as an average. They killed 10 million pounds last year in discard mortality alone.
Okay.
And until ASMS is going to address that.
If we had a phase-in period, how long should it be?
Excuse me?
If we had a phase-in period for the nets, how long? You know,
you'd have to go past the spring fishery, because it was going to take 6 months to get it, so you couldn't implement that until, for example,
minimum of 6 months.
April.
Okay, minimum of 6 months.
You're going to need enough time for them to use their nets through this fall and spring, and by next fall they could have some hung in if it's absolutely necessary. We're on a strict quota weight loss. So if I catch one 36-inch fish or two 28-inch fish or six 24-inch fish, and it's all the same weight once I get my weight undone. So is it better for me to catch one 36-inch fish or five or six 24-inch fish for the same amount of weight? And that, you know, That's a right to life issue. But they all can have the ability to spawn.
Right. What we're faced with tonight isn't changing the rules or changing the ASMSC or anything else. The emergency rule is coming, period. Now, can we come up with a better, less severe restriction that will satisfy you folks, keep you in business, keep your businesses alive, and come close enough to the emergency restriction to get the commission to sign off on it? Doesn't matter whether we're right or wrong. The emergency thing is coming. How close can we get to that emergency rule and still save your jobs? That's what we're here to figure out tonight, unless I'm missing something.
I think tax is a great idea. And I don't know why it would take so long to implement that.
The number 40,000 people?
Well, you said to have them be sold at tackle shops.
It's going to take some time. And we could maybe have it in place by
next summer.
Okay, next summer. But, you know, we could not have that in place by this fall.
Just to order them alone would be a 3-month wait. So if we're sitting here in October, we wouldn't even get them in our hands till the end of November, December. It's logistically not feasible this year.
It is a great idea, and we are pursuing
it. I don't see how it would take so long to order them.
It's
not a business where I order wristbands online. You get them in like 2 days. So I'm not saying it's wristbands, but I realize it's something that's not as needed that much, but
all right, please, dude,
3 months.
Keep the chatter down.
I think tag is a great idea.
And we're pursuing it.
All right, Scott.
With what you just said, it's impossible to get the tags. It's 3 months bouncing back to commercial. I was talking to Buddy before the meeting also. He said 6 months, and that's without having a huge rush on 7-inch net. So as far as that goes, I think we've got. We don't feel commercial is the problem, so I think that emergency should be pushed off. These guys have agreed they feel like they can live with the 7-inch, but it has to be phased in. So I think that really needs to be taken off the table.
Not taken off the table.
For the emergency.
Phased in.
Right, for the emergency, but phased in over time.
Correct. All right,
Mike. It's got to be at least a year.
Okay. Yeah, finish your thought, please.
Okay. So the emergency measure, remember, is a 30-day law. At the end of 30 days, it either gets voted on and continued, or voted on and fails, or not voted on, it's dead. That's the way the emergency regulation law works. I know they've had to move a commission meeting up 2 days or a week because they were going to miss because it was going to be 32 days. So that's what you have to watch out for with that. But I do agree with you that it seems reasonable. The bay goes down to a small mesh size in March. You phase this in at the end of that period. Might be a good time to do it.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Just a moment. Mike was next.
Yeah. On just 2 points. On the charter boat business issue, reminder, at our last FMAC meeting, we had 4 charter boat captains here. Ryan Rogers of the Midnight Sun and Jeff Fisher from Heritage. Those are two of the biggest Rockfish charter boat captains. They both said, cut their season. They said, get rid of the spring season, close it, and just have November and December and leave them at 2 fish, and they'll survive. So,
thank you.
That is one of the options to still save the 18 or 20%. But that's just from the charter side. And then the second point is, I agree with everybody else on the 7-inch mesh to phase that in, to give the watermen chances to switch all their gear, and it may take a year, it may take less, or a partial phase-in season for next spring. And that's my 2 points.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Recreationally, we heard some of these guys say that they're fine with 1 fish. So we know that going to 1 fish saves 24%. If we do away with the slot size or max 36, I think it saves from driving up the dead discards. It allows them to go fishing, catch their 1 fish. And as far as the charter boat business, if we what would we, if we allow them to still keep their two fish, what, you know, how far would that knock the 24% back? So we can, you know, appease them and the recreational industry and not drive over that discard. It seems like a decent solution. One fish, doesn't matter what, you know, over whatever the minimum is, you know, no maximum, and leave the charter boats at two.
I have one of the recreational seats, and the charter people that I've talked to are pretty unanimous. Leave me at two fish, cut the size, leave me at two fish. I think most of us at the table are saying the same thing. I don't think there's that many that we're really talking about, that many in terms of charter boats versus recreational fishermen. So just to reiterate, leave them at two, cut the size, leave them at two.
Pat, are you going to take a poll, or should I ask some questions?
I'm
sorry. Do you have one?
I have a page.
Oh.
I've been taking notes.
Try to stay awake now.
Yeah, okay. On commercial discards, one of the things that I would really like to see is non-targeted commercial discards addressed. Somebody in the audience mentioned how you could be trying to fish for white perch and you're going to catch small striped bass. Mm-hmm. Well, white perch fishery has been documented in the past in Carolina that if you don't do it right, you're going to get a lot of, in the numbers, 7-1, 10-1 kind of numbers, striped bass to harvest it, that you have to throw back effectively dead to harvest it white perch. So that's one issue. October to November closure, if somebody's going to do that, what you are effectively doing is shutting down the river fishery, period. James River fishery is done by Thanksgiving. You fish the James River starting October 4th, and Thanksgiving, that's when you move out into the open bay. And furthermore, when there's a full moon that always happens around the first week in November, and that week you don't catch anything in the morning ever because they feed all night long. A tagging system, I don't see how you can effectively get a reduction in the fishery by using a tagging system, because let's just say they were off by a factor of four and it was 2,500 fish over 36 inches that were actually caught. Okay, we're going to issue tags to 50 charter captains, 50 fish, that's 2,500 tags. And I'm confident that they have the capability to catch those fish if they have a good year business-wise and weather-wise. So I don't know how you're going to do a tagging system and expect to get a big reduction, because you have, it's not 40,000, there's 40,000 boat licenses and another 30,000 individual licenses. So you've got 70,000 licensed fishermen plus the charter captains, plus how are you going to tell people who are going on a boat, who have a boat license, you can only get two tags or one tag this year. So that's a really tough nut to crack. It is a really good system for counting how much we're catching and actually arguing with the MRIP people about what the actual harvest is. In my opinion, the real issue on the larger fish in Virginia is that recreational fishermen, for I want to say the last 15, 18 years, have shifted over, and more people are fishing with live eels and live bait, and they figured out how to catch bigger fish. Even idiots like me can do it. But the point is, it used to be everybody would go out there and you'd be dragging these big spoons and stretch 30s and all that kind of stuff. And you'd fish all day and you'd catch some, but you'd also get mixed in there the 34 and 36 inch fish and everything out off of the eastern shore in deep water. One of the things that you may do, and somebody at the table said it, and quietly, is should we outlaw eeling? Should we outlaw eeling and live bait in November and December? Sure, you can use peeler crabs in the spring because you're fishing for any number of things, and you're not going to catch the big fish, but if we want to protect the big fish, we've got to figure out ways to protect the big fish so that people harvest them less. In general, something needs to be done. And I say this based on the spawning stock and the anecdotal reports about how bad fishing is and how few people are, less and less people are going. And in fact, it probably should have been done 5 or 10 years ago. Coastwide, not just in Virginia, but everywhere. And the other thing that happens
historically with these kind of problems is fisheries managers, recreational fishermen, commercial fishermen, people who sit at this table, we sit here every year, we have to take a reduction and do everything we can to get every single fish we can catch next year under the new rules. We have to do something different, because that just doesn't work. That ends up where we end up like the croaker stocks right now that are down and really depressed. Where we have gray trout, oh, they're starting to come back. Yeah, but you only keep one fish. I mean, and they're not back anywhere near like what they used to be. There's lots of reasons it happens. I don't know. And the measures to it will address, oh, and furthermore, release mortality. The rules they're put, that they put together in these emergency regulations, it's going to cut back on release mortality, because less people are going to go fishing trying to catch the fish, because I'm not going to go out by myself if all I'm allowed to do is catch one fish. I'm not going to spend the money and time to run across to the eastern shore to go fish over there if all I can do, because it's me and my buddy, is catch two fish, especially if I can't catch anything over 36 inches. It's you're going to get less fishing effort, and that's going to be where the real cut in release mortality in Virginia would be. Now, in Massachusetts, and I agree that Massachusetts, Maine, those states, that's where the real release mortality problem is. And if they don't address it, we're never going to fix this fishery. You can also go into ecosystem management, but we're not allowed to talk about that. So there are ways that we might be able to tweak this, but you have to be real careful that anything you do is going to increase the harvest on the spawning stock. And Ernie, striped bass are not like people. Those big 50-inch striped bass, the survivability of their eggs are way better than a 30-inch fish, 36-inch fish. The eggs come out bigger. The eggs itself, when they lay them, are larger and they survive better. I've read studies from that 15 years ago.
Anybody else? Pat, do you have a list of things that would temper the?
Yeah, well, that's what we'll do now. We're at the point where we're going to ask you your opinion. So I'm going to ask for a show of hands, and we're going to include a couple of these other ones in here. See if we can get back to where we... There we go. Those are the three issues up at the top that we were considering. And some of them, because we did have the recreational possession limit of one fish, I will put a sub one underneath that as well, as we have comments about allowing the charter captains to have two. So I'm going to ask the audience, who's in favor of the one fish bag limit?
Per person.
Per person. Show of hands, and if your hand doesn't go up, I'm assuming you're opposed to it.
Ken, I'm voting against it.
Ken. We'll get them later. They get to do.
I'm sorry.
You guys are special. All right. Who would support it if the charter captains are allowed to have two fish? That would be the sub part. Raise them high. It looks like this may
go for that too. I don't want to hurt the poor fish in my golf.
So. Sorry, I'm making you keep your hands up so long. This is a big crowd. This is good to have this many people. Got it? Well said. All right. Now moving on to the next option. Was the recreational maximum size limit of 36 inches. Who's in support of that? The 36-inch maximum size limit, recreationally. Who is in support of that? Raise your hand.
Are you going to talk about the tag option?
We can't do that this week. We cannot do that for this emergency order. We can't get it done. That will come, but trust me, we cannot do that. We can't get that done.
We can pull our opinion.
Hmm?
You can poll our opinion.
All right, we'll do that then, okay? we'll go that. So nobody's in favor of just a 36-inch limit.
Wait.
Right? That's what I'm seeing?
Well,
Okay. Who would be in favor of, I'll say it's not a trophy fishery, but a bonus fishery, where what we talked about, some kind of a tagging program where you get...
You purchase a tag.
You purchase a tag. You may get one tag. You may get two tags. Charter captains may get X number of tags.
You purchase a tag. You don't get issued a tag.
You purchase these tags is what it would be. And it would be a program where you have to have, if you have that fish in the boat, that tag better be right through the mouth like it is in commercial fish.
That's not an issue if there's a if there's not a maximum size limit.
There would be a trophy fishery that you would be allowed to have one fish larger than the whatever the maximum size limit would be. And if we don't do anything, it would be 28.
So you're saying that item number 2 plus 2B would be 36 plus...
Well, it wouldn't be 36 at all. It would just be a trophy fishery.
Oh, so it wouldn't be... The second fish would be over 36.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, what I would propose is the average recreational angler would feed the one fish up to 36, but the guy could also go and purchase a tag so that if that one fish was over 36, he could use the tag.
That's what I'm
saying. So, but most people aren't going to buy a tag, is what I'm saying.
So
most people are still going to fish one fish at 36.
Like a junk tag.
We have some ideas on what a recreational tagging program might look like. We're not going to figure that out in 2 weeks. We're not going to have the intimate details. If we do a show of hands, it would be who would it be in favor of some kind of recreational tagging program, not necessarily the details. Those would still be asked.
Who would support the recreational tag? That's what we want to say.
In favor option.
Recreational tag. Recreational tag. A bonus session. My last one is it's going to be a BMS. The commercial deal that maximum net size is 7 inches in the bag, 9 inches in the ocean. Which supports that as an emergency or going forward. Who would support it as a phase-in? Who would support the gill net as a phase-in if we phased it in over a period of time? Instead of just, you know, doing it immediately, phasing it in over a period of time.
What is the period?
Gentlemen, what did you, 6 months to a year?
A year.
A year.
You're
going to go through a 7 minutes for a year.
Say again? It would be phased in over a year.
Permanent 12 months?
Yeah. I mean, I'm throwing out a year just to see what...
Definitely, it'd be in effect for 12 months and a year after that.
It would be in effect, but basically you didn't have to have it for 1 year.
But once you said it, it's
it would be effective a year from now or whenever it goes in, you know, whenever they decide to be phased in. Permanent support as a phased in, because that was one of the issues that came up.
Hey, Pat, don't you talk related what conservation savings we would achieve from that, just so we know what the effect
We'd have to look at it on the phased in, but we'd have the cost estimates.
Okay, because it wouldn't be nice to know short and long term what kind of positive impact that would have, so we can balance it against the.
Did you get the count on that? Everybody's okay with that?
What was
it? It was just, you know, we did the gill nets as a phase-in instead of doing it effective. You know, we can make that effective whatever date. I mean, it could be effective, during the submerged oil. It could be the start of next fishing season, or it could be phased in over a period of time.
It's hard to bug without knowing the impact of what we're going to achieve or potential.
Well, I think that the issue was being able to get the nets. It's the issue that most folks were concerned about. That's the big issue, was being able to get it. You get that? We're good? All right, folks, thank you. Yes.
On tags, do you have an excess of commercial tags? Since they're individually numbered, are the commercial tags, we could set out a block and say these are...
Folks, we can't hear what everybody's speaking in here. It picks up and goes across the whole room.
Well, they'd have to know the numbers that were assigned to recreational.
Yeah,
And they should be a different color as well.
Well, ideally, if you can wait for new ones, yeah, sure. But if you can't, we're talking about a tag system that we're going to present to take effect in short term. Okay. All right.
We cannot do it in short term. We cannot do it. Yeah, we will not be able to get it done until early spring.
I don't think any of the commercial guys are in favor of a mesh size restriction, period. That's the question that needs to be asked, because I don't, in other words, if
well, that's that one too. Who's opposed to any mesh size restrictions? One hand, George.
Remember, guys, we got to cut down on the taking of rockfish, large spawning rockfish.
But the reason being is because these guys are doing what they've been asked to do. They're not catching the big fish. They're catching smaller fish. They're staying within their
capacity. Just a moment.
A slot noting, so it's like 20 to 30. 20 to 30 sports and 48 citizens. If you want options that the commission might be able to buy into, why is the 36
in the back? All right, ladies, thank you very much for that. Now we're going to let FMAC, they're probably going to put a motion on the floor. And they're going to discuss this. They're going to do the same thing. And if they want to put forward a motion, they're entitled to do that. And so, Jeff,
thank you. All right, for the committee, we know what the three issues are. Anybody want to make a motion to?
I'll make a motion.
You're scaring me, Tom, but okay.
My motion is what I just said. Well, the staff put together a proposal for the commission based on what this committee is asking for of a slot no-take. And that would be, for example, 20 to 32, keep it down, and over 48 or 46 or some really big fish. And that will keep the tournaments alive, which is what everybody, one of the things everybody's saying. It will give the charter boats the chance. So recreational fishing is hope and expectations. I expect to catch a keeper fish. I hope to catch that trophy fish. That will give you the hope for your customers. But it's got to be really big or it won't be effective. You've got to protect that middle slot to do this, to get it to fly. And I say 20 to 32, it could be 20 to 34 or something. Really.
Well, we need you to give us a number and the guys can, and we'll look for a second.
Okay, so to give you a number, 20 to 34 and over 50.
I think you can't keep
any. I think that's a great idea because people don't catch trophy.
I want to make a comment. So in the addendum, you'll notice a lot of slot options. Those are bay wide. They're very narrow. I think everyone can agree that when you see those small fish, and then it seems like those fish in the range that you're speaking to, you know, that, what is that? That, you know, 20, 22, 24 to 32, they're just not there. And there's a little, there are fewer smaller fish, it just won't make that 18% cut. The slot is inches narrow.
So you just have a slot here that you says is a 24% cut that is 20 to 36.
The savings here are lowering the possession limit.
This is the one fish.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
This is one fish.
I apologize. I thought it was for two.
One fish.
Okay.
That one fish can be between 20 and 34 and over 50.
Okay.
Over what?
Call it
50. Over 50.
45.
45.
Over 45.
45 is from the audience. You got to make it so that it's hard to find fish.
It's like 48.
Well, then that's going to guarantee people's going to fish all day long catching fish to try to catch that 50 inch fish. And they're going to throw back 25.
So
40-inch fish, and one out of 10 of them are going to die. I mean, they're going to be playing cards to try to catch that 50-inch fish.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, can I suggest that you first, as a committee, decide on those three issues and the sub-issues we just did, you know, and see what the support is for those, and then if somebody wants to put forth another recommendation, just so that we can have that on the record, how the FMAC feels about those three issues separately, because you didn't get a chance to do that last meeting.
I don't know one time, I would like to make a substitute motion.
Okay.
Everybody was, most of the recreational people were satisfied with one fish, so I would say retain the one fish per person per day, do away with the 36 inch maximum, make a special season for the charter boats where they're allowed to retain two fish, so that one of them can be greater than 36 inches. Oh, and gullet size, as I alluded to earlier, is something that needs to be phased in. And that's a discussion that we could start having at the next in this meeting when we could phase it in. We won't be totally opposed to it, even though quite a few people probably are totally opposed to it. But it's something that needs to be phased in. If it needs to be done at all, it needs to be phased in. So I would say, for now, do not enforce a commercial gillnet net size maximum until we have time to review and time for it to phase in. I think that took care of all the three questions that you had.
All right, we got a second by Scott. Discussion on the motion?
Yes.
Okay, Tom.
The charter fishery with a one fish limit is really a 1.3 fish limit if you say it's a six pack charter with a captain and a mate. Because right now, the way the laws are written, the captain and the mate can keep one fish a day. They can't do two trips, that would be technically illegal. And they can give those to their customer. They changed the law.
You've got a different crew in on your second trip.
Oh, you can have a different crew on your second trip.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
I mean, who goes out on the same boat?
The point is, we
would be willing to say the captain and mate is not part of the limits. If that's an easier sell, we'd be willing to say that. If only the customers are part of the two.
Make a vessel limit of six for charter boats.
Yeah. 12.
Don't include the captain in the mate.
No, I'll include the 12.
It'll be
6.
It'll be 12. I personally cannot support that motion because I can't support treating the charter boats different than any other recreational boat. They do it for a living. I don't care. Okay. I can't support it.
Okay. Some people can because they have to get the charters to come. If you can't,
I can't support it.
All right. That's your vote. That's your vote. Ernie, you said a special season for the charter captains.
When they were here last
month. Oh, wait a minute. By special season, do you mean time-based or do you mean...
Not time-based, because they were willing to give up some of their season to have the two fish. So that would really take care of Tom's concern, because they're giving up
the ability to catch on a certain time period.
Okay. Any charter captains in the audience that would prefer, think that two fish during a shorter season would help them, and what would that season be? If everybody else was one fish.
Absolutely. I agree.
What's the season?
Let's make it November 1st.
November 1st to December 31st?
December 31st. Yes, sir.
I second that.
Okay.
Two fish per person on the vessel.
Do you fish for rockfish any time in the rest?
But I'm saying they could keep one fish when the rockfish season opens.
Okay,
they can
but
only
just
two fish on one November is what.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Because there are guys like in the rivers that fish in October, and if they can at least got the one fish, because you know Rappahannock, they don't really have to travel real far.
Okay.
Let them have one fish, and then in November go to two fish.
So we're talking about one fish per person, charter and recreational. Two fish charter from November 1st to December 31st. Is that what you want us to vote on? Or to recommend to the commission?
And don't count the captain and mate if you want.
And no fish for the captain and the mate.
I
Absolutely.
Now, God, we take the friendly amendment from the audience.
How many people would agree with that? Two fish November through December 31st, one fish the rest of the season. Hold them up high so we can count them just once. All right, ready? And then the other part would be on the maximum size. What do we recommend? 36 on any fish.
I recommend going away with the 36 inches because they're only allowed one fish, and the savings from the 36 inches on a one fish krill limit is very low, negligible.
I think it's a point.
With all due respect.
Okay. All right. Just
it's more symbolic than anything.
Okay, John.
You do away with the size, you're not protecting the breeders, and that's what we were starting out to do, to protect the breeding stock. You do away with the size, we're going to start promoting more dead discards. We're going to end up just as we were, because people are still going to high grade. You catch one that's 24, you're going to throw it back, trying to get the one that's 32, throw that back, trying to get the one that's 38, and you go to 40. So with all due respect, I disagree with that. VSSA ran a poll, and one of the very first questions was, do you agree with the options as written in this proclamation that one fish at 36? The majority of the people voted for number one. Therefore, I say one fish at 36-inch maximum. I'm going to remain there. We supported the emergency proclamation based on that with the caveat that the charter captains be taken into consideration. That's been done here. I want to maintain that position.
Okay. Anybody else?
I just want to know what the motion is before you ask.
Well, I want to know what your opinion is before I make a motion.
Can I have a question for staff on this one?
Yeah, just a moment. We have a question for staff.
I have a question for you on this question. There's been a proposal for a tag system for recreational fishery in the future. And we're thinking that can be implemented next year.
Adam's running that show for us. So we're proposing one fish.
Let a technical person do it.
One place. I gotta get out of this. How do I get out of my tab? Oh, I gotta make a text box. So we're looking at one fish recreationally and two fish for the charter captains.
In a certain season.
Yep. We're trying to write it down so we can see it and you see it so we know we got it down line.
All right.
If the tag comes back, I support it.
My feeling is there's several people on the committee that not agreeable to the 36 inch removed in that.
You take that vote, you'll take the vote, and if you want to go, you take the vote, see what comes up. And then November 1 through December 31st.
To paying customers to fish.
We'll get that in there.
Daily limits, correct? Daily limits?
Should say per person per day.
Yeah.
Ernie, is this what you're recommending? Ernie, is this what you're recommending?
Yes. That was the motion that was seconded.
Huh?
That was the motion that was seconded.
Seconded.
I didn't second it.
All right, John. I'd like to make a substitute motion.
Okay.
Let him finish typing first. Excuse me, a change to this motion. Not a substitute. Instead of the one fish per person, during the season, instead of doing away with the 36-inch maximum size, maintain the 36-inch maximum size, but make a provision for one bonus tag for fish of a larger size. That bonus tag, I don't have the exact word, bonus tag has to be purchased in advance.
We can't do that. We can't do it now.
Next year, when the ASMFC gets finished with it, that 36-inch maximum may not make any difference, because there is a possibility we'll be stuck with something smaller than that.
I withdraw. That, because obviously they catch bigger than that, and they're going to take their grounds. I have no problem with it going more than that. With the idea that in the future you're going to be able to do the tag system, we're not able to have it this year, so the people will only be stuck with this.
For one year. I can live with that.
So keep the 36-inch?
Keep.
Leave that in there.
Maintain the 36-inch size limit. So you can remove your second bullet in its entirety, or change it, however you want to do it.
That's a substitute motion, is 36 max size limit?
Maintain the 36-inch size limit.
Friendly motion? It could be a friendly amendment. So Bernie agrees to it, and Scott agrees to it, then it's okay.
But then what are you going to do with a commercial?
Where are we? We're still waiting for the typist.
Is this what you had in mind? Sit. Okay, Mr. Chairman, this is your motion.
Okay, Scott, do you second the other motion? Do you second recreation?
I have a question about the
signature. All right.
You say 36 maximum size, does that apply?
Three, keep it down a little bit, please. I'm sorry.
36 maximum
size, please. I mean, they require when you were speaking, so.
Does the 36 inch maximum size limit apply both in the second bullet and the third sub bullet?
Does that 36 apply to you?
Yes. My answer to that would be yes. Tom, my answer to that would be yes, and that's based on the charter captains that I talked to, in which they said, cut the size, keep us at two fish per day. And that's based on the input we got from the former group that was merged into the SSF.
Just wanted clarification on what the motion was.
Did you speak to any
Eastern
Shore captains, or they were all Western Shore captains?
Help me out, Mike. Where are the captains?
I did write names down of people we talked to, but we talked to anybody that listens, but...
There's a different fishery on the Western Shore than there is on the Eastern Shore.
Most of the Western fishermen go to the Eastern Shore to fish. So, I mean, there's really not a much of a Western...
But we're not catching fish over 36 inches on the Eastern Shore with the eels.
I'm with you.
I mean, I agree with what we're saying on the Western Shore for the smaller fish. That way we don't cut out the Western Shore. But, we got to have something for the Eastern Shore where your 36-inch fish... I caught one fish last year under 36 inches.
That we have a tag system. So if they say we can't have a tag system, then what is the alternative to keep a larger fish?
All right, we don't have a tag system yet, but this does give the Eastern Shore at least one 36-inch fish per person per day, and one smaller one if you happen to catch them. Is that livable?
Not really.
The problem is we're not... with eel fishing on the eastern shore, we are not catching fish under 36 inches.
Right.
Well, we need to protect the stock. Can you fish for something else other than eels?
The problem that we've got with all of that is the fish that we're fishing are coming in from the ocean. They're not Virginia fish. They're not Massachusetts fish. They're all coming in from the ocean to go where they're going to go. We have to target them on the eastern shore. We fish with eels on commercial and recreational. So I don't want to hurt nobody.
I don't either, but...
We're either catching 20-inch fish under birds, or we're eeling for 45-inch fish. I mean,
you got
those are really our two choices.
Yep, the middle round doesn't exist for us.
That's right.
All right, well, this gives you both.
Well, it gives us the short fish.
The fish don't exist, is what we're saying, not for us.
You got to have one over 36.
You have one? Okay, that's better than... That's the same as one fish per person per day, with a slight chance of finding something smaller, which doesn't happen in your area very
correct,
often.
That's right.
But it's better than... One fish per person per day.
We'd love to see one.
No more than 36.
No, we have four. We want to do away with the 36 inch for our fishery doesn't exist over there.
Yeah, well, this will let you keep one over 36.
Whatever we come up with,
whatever we come up with also needs to be passed by commission, and this might not be enough. So just go with one per person per day. Do away with the maximum size limit, because you said that's the majority of the savings are from the one per person, not the 36 and above, correct?
Correct.
But it doesn't get
the vast majority of the savings were from the one per person. So to propose something tonight that might actually get through, one per person, no size limit.
Well, he suggested you say you want to make a substitute motion.
Substitute motion for that.
And I will second that substitute motion, which means we have to vote on the substitute motion over the other one, and then...
If we had all those, that is correct.
Robert's rules.
That's Robert's rules.
So what you're saying is you want to go back to one per
so there
one
is a substitute motion.
There is the original
motion. It doesn't...
But no maximum size.
That was the original motion.
So you want to do away with the substitute motion?
The original motion was one fish per day per person with no maximum size. I think that is better than what is
and that's what we
currently.
You said you wouldn't support it. Now you can support it?
No, I didn't.
Robert's rules of order, Jeff. The substitute or friendly motion needs to be voted on before the original motion needs to be voted on.
All right. Is anybody in favor of the substitute motion at this point?
I have to be since I made it.
Well, you don't have to be.
Yes, I do. Yes, I
okay.
Do.
All right. So,
I'm talking about the bottom one.
So that fails.
Okay. All right. Well, we haven't gone through the formal procedure yet. All in favor of the substitute motion, raise your right hand.
Did he have a second?
You did have a second, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah,
Tom Power seconded it.
No, I did not second.
Gentlemen,
was it seconded by anybody?
I heard Tom Power seconded it.
All right. Does anybody second the substitute motion, yes or no?
Substitute motion.
Thank you. Back to the original motion. All in favor, raise the right hand.
Which is the original motion?
Top part.
Okay. So one fish and the charter boats get two fish and the one can be over.
All in favor of the main motion, the original motion, when it gets back up there. Are we ready? No? Raise the right hand. I have one, two, three, four.
I don't think it does enough for the commission. You can do it, but I don't think it's
going to... Well, at least it'll tell them where we stand. Hopefully it'll bring them down a little bit on there, get them to temper it. They may not accept it as written, but it may bring their... What they
I
have.
Think if you said one per person, no limit on size for every recreational boat, I think that might actually work.
That's what it says.
On the charters.
And they're going to say charter boats probably catch more fish than everybody. I just don't think. My guess is that.
Okay.
Second
subpart.
All right. Let's vote on the main motion. All in favor for the last time, raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3. All opposed, raise your right hand. One. One abstention?
Abstention, yeah.
All right. Main motion passes.
Okay. All right.
Do you abstain, Jeff?
There was only three. I abstain, yes.
He abstained. One abstention, so.
The chairman's not supposed to vote.
He abstained, okay. That's good.
Unless it's really critical, so I'm going to.
Put that back up there.
Jeff, I have a question.
Yes.
For the staff.
Mike.
Alex, will you have enough time to show the reduction savings with this motion before the commission? Meaning, if you said to the commission, this achieves the 20% reduction. And I think there's about 40 charter boats.
I need some time to do it. I mean, I'm gonna do my best.
I motion you get overtime. because if you could present this and say this gets the same achievement in reduction, then we have a chance for it to pass.
Okay. Do we need a motion on the mesh postponement or delay?
No, it's not there.
Is that
you already did.
Oh, okay.
But my question is, will the commission understand why the logistics of the net being available, just not being available?
I mean, we can discuss that, or Chairman Dean or somebody else in this committee can come and present at the public hearing. All right. Thank you very much, committee. That's the world we live in on a regular basis, motions like that, and I apologize you had to go through, but that's what happens, and it's even worse when you're talking about Maine to Florida. Nobody can agree on things. I thank everybody for coming tonight. If you have anything you want to comment on, hopefully there's more of these in the back of the room. You know, we have a sheet out in the back you can pick up, and the information is on there. You can go ahead and provide that if you want to provide the information to ASMC. That's on there as well. Well, thank you for everyone.